We're up to our page Tov Kuf Yud Zayin. Okay, it's page Tov Kuf Yud Zayin. We're up to Pan Vav. Pan Vav means like Ofan. Ofan means the sixth example, the sixth type, the sixth example of Muksa. L'malam is there. The next example of Muksa is Dvarim She'enam Muchanim Klal L'tash Mish Adam V'lo L'achilas Adam V'Behema. An example of an object which is not fit for consumption, not for use, not for a human being, and not for an animal. Even though occasionally they are used. What are examples? And muksa, one thing I learned about muksa. It's all about the examples. Okay, all of the concepts are very, you talk about a concept, it means nothing. Unless you can give a concrete example, the concepts are very, 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 very hard to make use of. And he gives, and that's one of the very big advantages over here of the Chayadim, he always gives examples. We're going to go through examples. I have a lot of books. There are a lot of svarim on the laws of muksa. Every publisher put out a book. See, Amir Liakum, there are not that many svarim. Amir Liakum is very hard to find svarim on Amir Liakum. Art Scroll, they did a fantastic, fantastic sefer. But after Art Scroll, there are not that many practical svarim that describe halacha l'maisa in this century, 21st century, the practical application of Amir Liakum. But muksa, there's a whole shelf. You go to the bookstore, there's a whole shelf of books telling muksa, all different types of books describing muksa. And I find very funny about muksa is because you don't really need to know the halachas of muksa. If you just want to move something, you have a doubt, just move it with your elbow. Just move it, kalachayat, so all the halachas fall out the window. Ruba de ruba, they fall out the window. They're not really relevant because the end of the day is if you want to move something, you're going to move it. You're going to move it. How are you going to move it? Kalachayat. So what do you have to know all these halachas for? What difference does it make? Okay, it's still kedai to know the halachas. It's still an appreciation. You learn muksa, you definitely... It opens up your mind to appreciate Shabbos. It becomes a different. I found that to be years ago. I learned muksa. It becomes a very different Shabbos when you look at something right away. Oh, this is muksa machmas iser, muksa machmas mitzvah, muksa machmas chasan kiss, muksa machmas mios. Right away, opens up your mind to have a much greater appreciation for the laws of Shabbos. It ties into many, many things. So here we have an example of something which is not fit for use, not for animals, not for human beings. Under Harai, Kogoyin, Avonim Ulevenim Ha'imdim Lebinyan, construction materials. If you're doing construction, you have stones, you have bricks. Afil Lacha Shagamar Binyan, Im Sidram Ze Al Gav Ze. If you even after you finish construction, if they've been arranged, they've been put away in storage. Gole daite da dain daite alehem lebinyan. If you put them in storage, you have something to do construction. You have leftover tiles. Everyone has in their home some type of leftover materials from some type of construction project. Some leftover tiles, some leftover sheetrock, some leftover plaster,
carpeting.
There's always some little piece you have. You put them in the basement. You put them in storage somewhere. The fact that you did not throw it out goes to show that in your mind, who knows? Maybe one day we'll need this tile. It'll be a crack. It'll be some.
Years
some
from now you throw it out.
What?
20 years from now.
20 years from now you throw it out. Just sits there and collects dust. Okay, collects dust. Paint, right? Leftover paint. You do painting. Who knows? You may want to touch it up. Yeah, right. You're gonna touch up. You're gonna go do a touch up.
You're gonna paint again.
So by that time, you're going to paint. The paint will not be royal achilas kelef.
No, not that paint itself.
Okay, it's the color. Yeah, but today, today the technology is so advanced in paint. You know they do paint. You bring in a sample. The computer. The computer right, it figures out exactly what the color is, and the computer produces for you that color. It's just amazing. Amazing technology. You go to like Home Depot, you go to Lowe's, one of these places, you just peel off a piece off the wall. Just peel off of the wall, and the computer analyzes it, and on the spot, it spits out paint. It produces you a bucket of paint, exactly that color. High gloss, low gloss, whatever you want to do. It's unbelievable. Next, in Sidron al Gabi Zalgali Dadu Dadain Dait Aleim Lubinin, Aval in Kvar Nigmar Habinin Lubulis Sidron, Azayesh Teras Kli Aleim. Let's say you finish your construction project and you have the way you have left over these objects is in a way which clearly shows you have no intention whatsoever to use this for construction. It's a toy for the children. You have, I don't know, you have some type of leftover wires, like whatever, and the kids want to play with it. So you obviously have shown no intent to use this for construction longer. And in this example, you use the bricks to sit upon. Okay, obviously times have changed. To cover something with these bricks. So then in this situation, then it's not going to be muksa. We're dealing over here with, you have objects that have left over from construction, you put them in storage, you have set them aside. These things are muksa. They're not fit for human beings. They're not fit for animals. This is a very severe form of muksa. The chaticha is barzel, other example pieces of metal, the chaticha zechuk is glass, the chaticha zechuk is glass, these things are not called utensils. That is a very important principle in the laws of muksa. The first thing you always have to ask when it comes to muksa, is this object a utensil? Is it a kli? That's question number one. If the answer is yes, then we can proceed to the next level. What kind of kli is this? A kli shemalachta leheter, a kli shemalachta leiser. What do you use this utensil for? But if you answer the question in the negative, this is not called a utensil, you're finished. The buck stops there. It's muksa. If this brick is not a utensil, it's not a utensil.
What makes it muksa?
Muksa, you set it aside. Muksa means it's put out of your mind. It's put out of your mind. I have no intent of using this on Shabbos. And Chazal, it comes from Divrei Kabbalah. Mimotzei chefsecha umidaber davar. To move things around. The sanctity of Shabbos demands that things that are not set aside for Shabbos use cannot be touched, cannot be moved, because it diminishes from the sanctity of Shabbos. Shabbos is the day to spend with Hashem, the day to enjoy the spiritual nature of Shabbos. If you're going to be moving around objects the entire day, you're going to forget that today is Shabbos. So if it's set aside, it's put out of your mind, it's not going to be used on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move it. You're not allowed to.
But the object itself may not be muksa, you're saying.
The object is muksa. There's no such thing.
But defines it as muksa.
It is muksa.
It's defining it as muksa.
If you have a brick,
that means it's muksa.
If you have done construction and there are leftover bricks, and this brick you're putting away because who knows, maybe down the line you're going to need to make repairs and you're going to need a few extra bricks. They give you a few extra bricks. So this object, is it a utensil? No. Is this object, do I have any use for it on Shabbos? No. So
you may want to keep a door open. You want to put
No. So you can't. That's exactly. It's exactly the point we're making over here. Since this is not set aside for,
but you can't use it as something that is.
No. You're not allowed to use it for anything. Since no, that's a kli. That's what we come to. Lutzach mekoyma is a kli. Only by a kli shemalachdoi leiser is there a leniency that you can move it. Lutzach gufa lutzach mekoyma. But if it's not called a kli. And now I have a use. Wow, look at that, I have a brick. And this brick was meant for construction purposes. Mm-hmm. And now, I have a use. I can use this brick to keep the door open.
Right.
You're not allowed to. The brick is muksa. But I have a very legitimate use for the brick. It doesn't make a difference. It's too little, too late. If you wanted to use this brick as to keep the door open, you have to have designated. You must have designated this brick to keep the door before Shabbos begins. And since you have failed to do so, the brick is muksa. Also,
the example the Gemara gives in Chulin is about a Shechet's knife.
And I think that's a little different because a knife has a use.
That's a knife.
So we're going to get to that. We're going to come to that later on. That's a kli shemalachta d'isa. That's better. That's a kli shemalachta. It's not a kli. Here he's discussing things that we're determining that are not called kalim. They're not. They're objects, and these are objects for which you have absolutely no use. Why is there no use? Because these things are meant to be used for construction purposes. Mm-hmm. It's not called a utensil, therefore it's muksa. Example number two. This is very, very important.
Maybe to break the walnut.
To break a walnut? No. You're not allowed to use it to break a walnut. It's not a kli. It's not a kli.
You can't use it as a kli.
This, no. If you want it to be a kli, you have to have had designated this from before Shabbos. If you have a brick, a stone, you cannot use the stone for a permissible purpose, because the stone is the etzem. It's not a utensil. It's an object that has been set out of your mind when Shabbos began. Therefore, you're not allowed to take it and use it for a permissible purpose, in your example, breaking nuts open, or to keep the door open. You are thinking about something which is a utensil, a hammer. A hammer is a utensil. It's called in halacha a kli. What do you use the hammer for? For prohibited use. To bang your nails. Bang a nail into the wall is an iser d'oraisa, binyan. I want to use this hammer for a permissible use. So Chazal said you can, because a hammer has a leniency. What's the leniency? The dimension of leniency. A hammer is a utensil. It's called in halacha a kli. A brick is not in the word in halacha called a kli. It's not a utensil. It's an object. An object has a stringency. You're not allowed to move an object even for a permissible use. Okay, you understand this principle? Now, next example. Money. What is money? Money is the root of all evil. Money, what is money? Umos. Afilu dinar zah, a gold coin. I don't know what afilu. I think he means over here is that I guess he uses an ornament. You know, wow, gold coin,
jewelry. It's not used as in money.
And money is not called a utensil. Money is an object, and money has no use on Shabbos. You're not allowed to engage in commerce. Has no use on Shabbos. So if you want to go use money to keep the door open, you want to go use it to wedge open a coin, to use it as using it as a wedge to open something up. You're not allowed to. Money is muksa, period. Unless you designate
gold
the
necklace.
Money. What?
Gold necklace.
You're not allowed to use money. Money is muksa. Afilu dinozov. The eitzim. Another eitzim. This gives more examples. Eitzim wood. The konim reeds. The koiras beams. The noitza shall oifas feathers of birds. The oiras shall behema hides. Bein lachin with their moist. Bein yideshim. Bein behema gasa. Odaka. Bein dinosenush. And yeshim ala karka. We don't sit on the ground. So therefore, these things are not. If we sit on the ground, maybe you would say they're set aside for a spread. But we don't. Anyway, we don't sit on these things. These things are only used for other things which have no use on Shabbos. So therefore, and these things are not called utensils. This is raw material. It's raw material used for a purpose, but it's not called a utensil. Thus, when Shabbos began, they're set aside. They may not be moved and touched on Shabbos. It's semer pishon. What about wool? Semer wool, pishon linen, menupot, seskin kolom, shein roi, l'shon tashmish, u'nesom shel uman, it means beams of a craftsman, shem l'malacha, the offer of a chol, dust, sand, ta'afilu, earth, l'sand, ta'afilu, l'meinim, l'kubal l'karka, v'shevei kelim, broken utensil, shein roi, moi, l'shon tashmish, they have no purpose anymore, o'shterech, l'meinadam, l'shon tashmish, from o'od, can go in machat, a needle, shnit l'uksa, ayochoda, a needle whose tip, whose the eye or the tip has been broken. The alpha pita dain roy little by kites. You can use it. B'shasat chak take out a thumb. Mikol makom in v'choshev v'adam zerk v'la'ashva. Most people throw it in the garbage. Umes, a dead body. A dead body is muktza. Okay, we all know dead body is muktza. V'chol bal echayim and living and all types of. Balichayim, afilu behemos oifa sheyesh v'lobzoch abayis. Okay, here are animals. This is very important halacha. When we get the practical halachas from the art school books and their friends, so animals walking a dog on Shabbos. Okay, it's a very big problem to walk a dog on Shabbos because of tiltul muktza. That's why we have to discuss a lot of different issues. When you walk a dog on Shabbos,
that's
you can do it. The animal is muktza. You're not allowed to move an animal on Shabbos. You're not allowed to move a dog. You're allowed to touch it. When we have to relate to the linen, you're allowed to touch muksa. Gives you another touch. It's not true. Muksa, you're allowed to touch. If you have a hammer, you can touch it. Mm-hmm. You can caress it the whole Shabbos. You have a stone, you can touch it. No, touching the dog is problematic. When you touch a dog, it automatically causes the dog to move. I mean, it depends on the dog. Some dogs are very stubborn. Some animals, you know, the mice with the horse. I love this story. The horse didn't want to move. There was a horse in the barn, and the balabas pulled and pulled, and everything the men tried to do, the horse wouldn't move. So his friend came and said, "What's the problem? Why do you have so much agmas nefesh? I can't get my horse to move." So he said, "What's the problem? Where do you want the horse? I'll get him there." So I want it over there. So the friend goes to shul. He takes the omud from the right in front of the urn, and he brings it to the house, and he puts. Where do you want it? I want the horse. He puts the Talmud there, and all of a sudden the horse goes. How do you do that? The ferret always goes to the Amud. Okay, so sometimes things don't move, it doesn't move. But if you're going to touch something that's going to trigger a reaction that's going to move, you're not allowed to touch something that's going to move.
The dog moves.
What?
The dog doesn't have to move. He moves because he wants to move.
So the question is, you have to know your dog. Some dogs move. You touch the dog, so it moves.
Yeah, but they take the dogs. I see from people.
Oh, okay. So they have. We're going to discuss it. You have to do the kahalacha. It has to be in kahalacha. It's very, very hard to do the kahalacha. You have to have a very loose leash where the dog really is going by itself. The girl, you're not allowed to pull it. It has to go by itself, which is very problematic because always you get into a fight, you go down the street, it's going to see another dog, it's going to see a person doesn't like, right? There's always going to be an issue when you go down the street with people and with other animals, so then you're not allowed to pull it back.
If there's an Erev,
you know, it's muksa. An animal is muksa. Erev helps for the leash. The leash is another problem. The other problem is you're carrying the leash.
Right.
So technically, as long as the leash does not go, it's a very short leash, does not go below below 10 tvachim, below 3 tvachim. Where's the neck of the animal? How high is the neck of the animal with the leash attached to it? I don't even remember. So as long as the leash does not droop on the ground, I think within 3 tefachim, so it's not called carrying. It's attached to the dog, it's part of the dog, you're just holding it. But once the leash droops lower than 3 tefachim, then it's already called it's on the ground, and then you're carrying the leash. You're carrying the leash in the Rosh Hashanah more than Dalet Amos. So you have to hold the leash high. Hold the leash high and not pull the dog. So if the leash is too small, you're going to pull it. If it's too long, it's going to droop. It's almost impossible. If you have an Eruv, then you solve the problem of the leash. But you don't solve the problem of moving the dog. So it's really very...
How about a service animal?
Then it's mutter. That's for sure mutter. That's for sure mutter. Like a blind, sort of blind, an eye. So that they're very well trained. So those that's mutter, and that's you have to know how to do it. The technique there should be to minimize any shayla of full Shabbos. But lean there when we go for the practical applications, we're going to touch upon all of it. But first, I want to do inside. I find it to be a good idea. We're trying this technique is to do inside what it says in the Chaye Adam, even though it's not very practical for us in today's day and age, at least to be introduced to the principles, to the Yesodos, and then we're going to spend some good time going through the practical examples from Baruch Hashem, the many long collection of books that are available today in Judaic store. Next, go further now. So we have a needle, an animal is muksa. A parrot in the house. People have birds in the house. The birds escape and they go up into the house. You got to go get the bird, put the bird back in the cage. Back in the cage and fly out the window. You're not allowed to do it. It's a very big problem. A very big problem going and getting the birds. Then tzeda, there's also problems in the house. If animals in the house, you run into a lot of issues of tzeda, of locking or trapping. You invite someone to your home, you have a dog, they're afraid of dogs, you want to lock the dog in another room. It's a very big problem. You put the dog in a very small room, in a confined area, and you shut the door. It's a real shaylah of tzeda. It has to be a big room, and the dog doesn't even realize it's being trapped. It should be tzeda. What about eggshells and nutshells? We have some of Akashos bones. These things have no use. They're muksa. They're not utensils. It's garbage. It's muksa. The teben and when it's on your dining room table, okay, well that's a different topic. But let's just assume now they're just lying around, eggshells or nutshells, and they're not in your way. They're not in your way. Can you move it? No, you're not allowed to move it because it's muksa. It's not called utensil. Teben and straw musroch, straw that has what?
All printed material exempted from muksa.
Usually yes. Ruba de ruba. Anything you can read. It's not muksa. Newspapers, even old newspapers, anything you can read is not generally not muksa. That's called a book. That's called a kli, which has a function. So it's mutter. Is it within the spirit of Shabbos to read certain things on Shabbos? That's a separate issue. Everyone is different. That the person that on his own has to decide what is his darug of some people to read a Jewish magazine. It's a zilzul in Shabbos. A certain rav in this community that always screams about this and tells that it used to be years ago there was no Jewish reading material. So what do people do on Shabbos? They learn. They would go and they what are you going to do? You're going to You would learn. People would spend much more time learning on Shabbos Sfarim. Or you would learn. You go learn to share. I know it's true by me. And now that you have Ami magazine and Mishpacha and Bina and all these magazines and Yeted and the Hamodia, so I know myself. It's FJJ, Jewish Press. So years ago, what do you do in Shabbos? Are you going to read the New York Times? Not really. It's not. Then you get a sense. All right, maybe a little bit. It's not really in the spirit of Shabbos, but the Yetzirah to read a good Mishpacha magazine is a very strong Yetzirah.
Well, what? Women,
women? What are you talking about women? The men are more into it than the women are. The women are busy with the busy. The men are not so busy. So it's Vamishar. Should I go learn? Should I be Mavar the Sedra? Should I chaz the Rashis and the Chumash in preparation for the landing tomorrow? Or should I spend a good half an hour going through the magazine and seeing what I find to be interesting? It's a very big Yetzirah. If you have the magazine, so it's a very big Yetzirah. So some Rabbanim, there's a certain Rav, he goes really wild about this, and it's not in the spirit of Shabbos. Okay, so maybe for him it's not in the spirit of Shabbos, but for many people, they're not in that Madrega where every minute they spend learning for the Adrabah. It is better to read things like this than to go read other secular novels and things which are really not in the spirit of Shabbos. That is an individual question of the spirit of Shabbos, but to say it's Muksa, you can't say it's Muksa. You definitely cannot say that any book is Muksa, for sure not. Second to last line, the teven musrach, straw that has rotted, she'ena roi ola afil achila v'tashmish v'heim afil b'yomtov im hu gam kein lach she'ena roi ola hasaka. Now in Yomtov you would say straw is not muksa because you can use it as fuel for the oven. So dealing with type of straw that's so wet, it's not even fit for fuel. So all of these things are muksa. Now comes to another halacha that's very important. This happens often. A door. If a door is unhinged, the dal sois habayis v'hachalaynais. Doors and windows that are of habayis and windows that are detached, that become detached. Oy afilu shel kelim kelim hamuksim af al pi shehein kelim. Kavans, now a door and a window is a utensil. That's a chiddush. That's like you have a door that's not attached. Shabbos begins, the door has been removed, or is not attached to the wall. The door came off the post, the hinge is broken, the door is against the wall. Is a door called a utensil? Mm-hmm. Is a door? Yes. You have a window. A window came out, it's unhinged, and the window was against the wall. Is the window called a utensil? So he says yes. Oh, if it's a utensil, then right away leads us to believe that we're going to be very lenient. Anything that you can say is called a utensil, you're going to, right away, you're going to have many different layers of leniency. If it's not a utensil, you're in trouble. You're right away in trouble. So he says, you're a chiddush, that a door, afal pi shein kelim, kevan she'enam muchanim klal litashmish. Very chiddush. A door has no use.
Now,
because it's not, you can't attach to the door, to the wall. Attaching a door that's unhinged to your door is a melacha deraisa of boineh.
Use it as a table.
Oh, so you want to go take the door, and we can use the door, lie it down as a table, as a bed, to go on the floor as a bed. So that's not what we generally do. That's not what you thought about Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, you were not planning on taking the door and using the door as a bed, as something, it's like you have a stone, like we used to have a stone. Oh, I have a great use for this brick. I have some leftover bricks from the constructions in the basement. Let me take a brick from the basement and use it to hold the door open. You're not allowed to, because it's not a kli, it's muksa. I have a door. The door is just leaning against the door, waiting for the contractor to come next week and fix the door. In the meantime, let me take the door, let me put it on the ground, and we'll put down a sheet, and someone can lie down and make a nice mattress for the child, someone can sleep on this door, instead of lying on the floor itself. No, it's muksa, even though I have a permissible use, because it's not something you planned in advance. Oh, you'll say it's not fair, zelo fair. A door is a utensil. If it's a utensil, it's a kli. A kli has many layers of leniency. We should be able to use the door for a permissible purpose. No, that's what it says. I don't know why. A door, it's a kli, it's not your typical kli, it's not meant to be used in any way whatsoever. Therefore, bein nisparku may erev Shabbos, oy be Shabbos, makes no difference when it can detach. Mm-hmm. They're always going to be muksav, period. V'chein sulam shel aliyos hagidoylois, shein doymim l'dalsel sabayis, ladders. A real ladder, okay, not a footstool ladder, not one of those little ladders you have, but we're talking about like a real ladder you use to go and turn and change light bulbs, you know, the real deal, he says a ladder is muksa. You're not allowed to use a ladder, it's incredible, it's a very chumar. I have to go see what it says in the article about ladders. You have a regular ladder, the real deal, not the, you know, not the little foot, the real ladder.
Step ladders.
a step ladder, and you want to go now, you have a use. I want to get the safer. So I'm going to go take the ladder in the closet that I use to change the light bulbs. Are you allowed to take out the ladder? You know, I don't remember. I don't know what it says in the art school. We have to see what it says in those books. Not only art school, a lot of books. But he says over here a very chiddush that a sulam shall aliyos hagidolos. What does it mean? Aliyos hagidolos, big ladders that are meant to be used for construction purposes. You're not, even though you'll tell it's a kli, it's a utensil. He's teaching us here that even there are certain types of kalim that are so far removed from use, we give it the same status as something which is not a utensil and cannot be used for a permissible purpose. So chomer, shein doyim l'dalos v'sabayis, like doors, and it's also pan zayin, example or concept number 7. L'malo mizeh shloisha minei muksa chamuros mizeh. These are the most severe. Ve'afil Rabbi Shimon de'les le muksa klal. The Gemara Masechta Deya and Masechta other Masechtas, you always come in contact with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, what does he say? He's famous. There's no such thing as muksa. An easy life. Shabbos is very easy. There's no such thing as muksa. Now that's a mistake. What it means is he doesn't hold the muksa, he doesn't hold of the general rules of muksa, but even Rabbi Shimon agrees, it's a mesorah, it's a pasuk, mimotzi chefzicha, pasuk in Yeshaya, that you're not allowed to move things on Shabbos, agrees that there is something called muksa. Here is the type of muksa that even Rabbi Shimon agrees to, and that is the very severe, the fear of Shimon, the less than muksa called moed beild asurim, muksa machmas chisaron kis. Something that's very valuable that you don't want to touch because who knows, it might get ruined. The Hainu Shemekatz Adam Yidaitim L'Shamesh Bochem Bimnei Shemakpid Aleihem Shlo Yiskalkulu or Shlo Yislach L'Shneke Damage L'Shneke Dirty Oikelem Yuchadim L'Shchora. Merchandise that's very expensive that you don't want, that you're not going to use Makpid Aleihem, you go in here, you always need an example. You don't have an example of Muksa, you're dead in the water. You learn Daf Gemara, you have a concept, so you can say the concept. An example always helps, but in muksa, if you don't give an example, you're finished. The only way you can understand muksa is by giving examples. Kogoin called dvarim ayikarim ayafilu dam of yikarim kogoin gizei tsemer, shearings of wool. This he says was very expensive. In the sanam loitza l'schayor, you put away shearings of wool for merchandise for selling. Umakbid aleihem. This is called muksa machmas chesaron kis. Ayafilu kli suda. Another example. Kli su'uda, koim ka'aros, u'kli z'chuchas v'sakinim, different times of very expensive china, okay, antique china, glasses, v'sakinim, certain types of knives, expensive, carving knives, v'nirali, d'davka b'chen v'nishin, d'arko l'hashil kelim, deal with the storekeeper, that does not lend these things out, avonisha d'arko l'hashil kelim chadosh, the person who does lend out new kelim, the person over here is selling these objects. No one's going to buy from you a used carving knife. No one's going to buy from you used china. They're not. These things, therefore, if you have in your home these things that are set aside for business, for selling these objects, this is muksa machmas chasarin kis. You cannot use them. You cannot make a decision. Oh, I'm just going to use it now for a permissible purpose. And when Shabbos is over, I'm going to put it back into the box. And I'll do that because these are things which a person is machmas on, even though they're kalim, but being that it's meant to be sold, and they're very expensive, very delicate, and that anyone can detect immediately if it was used before, no one would play around. And Patch can use these things for himself when he knows he has to sell it tomorrow to a customer. Like, so therefore it's muksa.
Stamp collection.
So a stamp collection, I don't know. It depends, I guess. You know, it depends what kind of stamp collection.
Yes, everybody's valuable.
Okay, it's very, so different types of stamps. You know, we have children, they also have these stamp collections. Let's say this thing is still good. Let's say the stamps are still, if they're still good, it's muksa manish. Right, you could actually use the stamp today. So a lot of stamps I can't even use anymore. They come from countries that don't even exist anymore, or things like that. But I don't know. You're right. You're touching upon something that's muksa machmas chesaron. Something's just meant for entertainment. You know, it's entertainment. You have these stamps. They don't really have any value. I don't know. We have to see. Aval mi shadarko lahashal kim chadoshim ein bechem muksa aval pi shenisanam loitzer. But a person who does use these things, then it's not muksa. So it's a given. If you do occasionally use these things, what you have in your business for your own personal use, then it's not muksa. Any type of tools that you makbid on, the chli bali batim shemakbid aleim, going sakin shall seifrim, a knife by scribes, or shall mila. Also, here is the example that Mayevsky mentioned before, the shall milu shchita. Okay, a knife that's used for mila is very expensive, it's very delicate, and shchita. Paper that's used for writing. This is not so simple. This is a very big shayla b'zman hazeh. Blank paper. What is the status of pieces of paper? You want to take some copy paper. You want to take some loose sheets of paper. So today the standards have changed. Today the standards have changed. But in time of Chazal it was very expensive. So it was very expensive. This type of use, really, it's a klish machalis. So taking a piece of paper, what do you use a piece of paper for? To write upon. So a piece of paper is a kli shemalachdoi leisser. A kli shemalachdoi leisser is mutter letzarech gufay uletzarech mekaymo. You're allowed to use it for a permissible purpose. So he's saying not so fast. Paper is something which is very expensive, very delicate, and you don't want to play around with. It's muksa machmas chisaron kis. Now, can you say that today about the average copy paper? Definitely not, because the average copy paper today costs about $5, $6, $7 a ream for 500 pages. I used to go and buy this in the store. No more. Now I order on Amazon. I don't have to schlep it. So the paper, and is it cheaper? It's not really cheaper on Amazon. It's the same price as Staples. Not that much cheaper, but it's like far. What is it? $5, $6, $7 a ream. Uniyarch oimel letziva v'igeres shemak b'lov l'shamu v'keim chayikarim k'sheni m'shamish from klal v'chein kol dov shemak mas shemak mas shemak b'lov miyachid le'mokim b'inu m'shamish boy. You designate a location for it. V'kol zeh havi muktze machmas chisaron kis. The osur lekulei alma, even according to Rabbi Shimon, the yesharim, the gam kli amuchel lemos levad, going to niach by mos bechol a wallet, the aval piyush shenetoloi, having muksam, and even though you took the money out of the wallet, harei muksam machmas chisaron kis ela imkin osve nekev sheina roy oil lemos. Okay, so I don't know what he means by that, but it's sometimes a wallet is very valuable. You keep your money in the wallet, so you have to be very careful about the wallet. It's also muksa machmas chasaron kis. We have to see halacha lemaisa. We have the concept in our minds now. We have to see halacha lemaisa. Some examples in our day and age that we can relate to that are called in the category muksa machmas chasaron kis.
But you have a key inside your wallet, and you take your key out of your wallet.
So in your case, it's a very big problem, because the wallet is called a bosses that we have to get to. Yeah, something. Many times you have something with an object, and the object is supporting muksa, machmas chasaron muksa, and not muksa. So then, are you allowed to retrieve what's not muksa from an object that has in it muksa, not muksa? Your example is a very good question. You have a wallet, and in the wallet you have a key, and you have money, and you want to take out the key. You have a card. If there's something with a card, something with very valuable, you need to get the card. So it's a very big problem. Generally, if you, what?
What is this key from?
Open up the door. Open up the door. No, open up the door in your closet. There's a closet. In the closet, there's food. There's food in the closet, and the key is in my wallet, and I want to get it. So the general rule is it's usser, because if you can do without it, you're not allowed to open up the wallet to retrieve something which is permitted. If you have no choice, then you have to do it kala achar yad. That's why I told you, all these halachas become very relevant.
Someone has their mom keys on their key, and they have a house key on.
You have two keys. You have keys which are muksa,
right.
And keys that are not, and keys that are muksa. So that's a very big problem. So there are different opinions in this matter. Some are very makbid on this, famous shayla. You mechuyev before Shabbos to take out only the keys that you actually need, because the other keys are muksa. Other Paiskim say that if you're going to start taking out keys, they're going to get lost. They're going to get lost, and you're going to be in a lot of trouble. We all know that to be 100% true. So it's for your peace of mind that they're all together. So it's not muksa, because it's all there serving a purpose. It's all one big keychain. It's all connected one to another. It's all mechubar. And this key is not muksa. If this key is not muksa, mimelu, the other keys are not muksa as well. That appears to be the common minhag. People do it all the time. They carry around the keychain, which has some keys that are totally relevant for Shabbos. In fact, those are keys which operate things which are also to operate on Shabbos. We don't not so mach, but to take the keys off the keychain. But l'chadchil, if a person can have a separate set of keys for Shabbos, what he needs for Shabbos, that would be ideal. That's all those examples that you're referring to. Are all in the category of buses. We have not yet got to bus. We'll come to that soon. That's where. But at least we learned this principle here called muksa machmas chisarain kis, and that includes even utensils. Even utensils in the are in that category. Panches. Another few minutes. Panches begam bezel kulyalmo havi muksa vahu noila. Now we come to the real heavy duty. These are the heavy guns. The real heavyweight. Noilat, gomor, shnase masim chodosh. What are examples of noilat? And should remember, we learned yesterday the lightweight noilat. What's a lightweight noilat? Before we even read this, we learned yesterday noilat is mutter, according to most opinions, is where something has been transformed from one state to another state, but before it was transformed, it was permissible. It had a use. It was roi lachilas adam. Food that's roi lachilas adam is not muksa. Now what has happened? Food has rotted. Is it royal achilas adam? No. But now it's royal achilas behema. It's right for animal food. So it's noilad. For me, it's no use. For the animals, it's a good use. But for the animals, it's only been created for the very first time on Shabbos. It's noilad. That is not called noilad. When it had a function before Shabbos, and has a new function on Shabbos itself, but there was always a function. At every moment in time, it always had a use. That is not called noilad according to most poskim. You can use it on Shabbos. Noilad in its purest sense is where it had absolutely no function before Shabbos. And now on Shabbos, for the very first time it was created, that is called noilad. That's still here. But Gamazilukuyam Habukud Noilad Gomush Nasa Maisa Chodash Efer Shabikira Shuhusak Bashabas Ayde Nahu. The Meikara Eitzim. Before Shabbos began it was wood. What is muksa? What is muksa? It's no use. What is an object? It's muksa machmas atzmai. It's muksa because it's inherently muksa. I have no function with this permissible use. And now on Shabbos, it was put in, a guy takes this wood, he puts it into the fire, it turns into ash. Ash has a use. I want the ash to use the ash for to cover over some waste. There's some waste on the ground, I want to use the ash to cover the waste. So is it muksa? Well, if the ash was in existence before Shabbos began, it would not be muksa. But it first came into existence on Shabbos, so that's called noilad. V'afilu chamadayin, even if it's still hot. Now, I don't know what he means by that. What's the chiddush? It's still hot. What
it's not considered noilad yet. It's transformed to its final state.
Final state.
I don't know, actually.
You can roast an egg. He's saying, referring to a yomtiv. That's one example. Example number two. An egg before Shabbos began. There is no egg. There is no egg. It's in the chicken. It doesn't exist. Now for the very first time comes to existence. For chol of shnechel b'Shabbos, a guy milks a cow on Shabbos. Milk and cows, this is the raisa. But let's say the guy did it for his own use. The guy did it. So now this milk didn't exist before Shabbos. The yamdim shlog lekar rekanis. The nearly the ma'am hanayfim me'ilonos b'me'an nisan also l'shoysim b'Shabbos m'shem nolad. Another example, let's say it rained. Let's say it rained before Shabbos and the trees are wet. And then Friday night you put a utensil underneath the tree and then when the wind blows, the rain falls into the utensil. That's also called nolad because it doesn't exist as far as you're concerned. The nearly the afilu yesh kvar kli imayim me'erev Shabbos. We don't say it's bizzle. Why don't we go say that? Let's have a utensil that has a lot of water. Now more water falls into the utensil. So why don't we say the noilat is bottle and not noilat? The loyar minun the bottle. Why not? Kevin, since shuhu, it is davar. Okay, one next page. I don't know if you have it, but Kevin is almost finishing up. Kevin shu davar sheyesh leimati. We learned this principle last week that when it comes to the laws of Shabbos. If it will become, if you, it's not going to be usher forever. When Shabbos is over, you'll be able to enjoy the water. So therefore, it's davar sheyesh lo matir, and it's not batla filu be'elef. Okay, so this is principle number 8, and we're going to stop here. And next time, we're going to go to number 9. It's only a few pages, and then we're going to spend time on all the modern examples in our time.